Call to order the Wednesday, January 10th, 2018 regular meeting of the Oceana Community Service District. Call to order. Roll call, please.
Director Bernay.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Colwell.
Here.
Vice President Austin.
Here.
President White.
Here. May we rise for the flag salute, please.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll move on to the agenda review. Do we see any changes, amendments? I noticed one thing.
President White, members of the board, we have modified our recommendations in agenda item 8B. We have provided a modified staff report with the items that have been added to the disbursement. We have added the attached vendors for a total of $2,082.08 for invoices that came in after January 5th. We are asking to process these today. This adjustment will increase the total cash disbursements from $289,862.71 to $291,944.79. And at the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations as modified.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Action on the agenda.
I move we approve the agenda as submitted with the modification from our business manager.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on to closed session. Mr. Minery, our district legal counsel, would
the
report,
board
please.
Will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D2. This is conference with district counsel regarding anticipation of litigation. There is one matter.
Thank you. Move to closed session. Call the meeting back to order at 6:12. May I have a report from our legal counsel?
The report out of closed session is no reportable action.
I'll call for public comment on items not in the agenda. The public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please, comment is limited to 3 minutes. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Madam President. Happy New Year to everybody. It's really wonderful to see Director Austin tonight. And I wanted to let you know that we had a director on this board at one time, Matt Guerrero, who has recently been appointed as our local Superior Court judge.
Yay!
So I wanted the people of Oceano to know, you know, that he came from this board and he's a resident and he's a judge.
Yeah.
So thank you.
That's what's transferred the Wallace case to Santa Barbara County.
Anyone else care to speak? No one else? No one coming forward? Okay. Moving on to 7, special presentations and reports, staff reports. Tony Maraschino, you're up.
Good evening, board. Tony Maraschino. It's good to see you again, the new year. For the month of December, it went really smooth for us. We got to take a little bit of time off as the field staff. But other than that, we had 15 work orders, 9 USAs, 13 customer service calls. We had one after-hours call-out. That was for a gas line break that we had a USA, the utilities. So so the gas company could know the location of our water and sewer. Our door hangers, quite a few meter changeouts, a lot of trash in the month of December. We actually filled a complete roll-off and had that taken off in the month of December. Equipment runs, first of the month, sewer laterals, first of the month. Free math class that we attended. We had lock-offs, and then we had no SSOs for the month of December. Sewer system overflows. Lopez is currently at 52%. Which is just over 24,300 acre feet. Year to date, since April, we've only taken Lopez water, which is 421 acre feet, and we've only pumped just over 24 acre feet since April. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
No.
Sounds good. I doubt whether you found out, but was there an impact to Lopez from the last rain, or do you know?
Yes, you're looking at the last rain we had. Since the beginning of the year, we've had just over 3.2 inches. It was roughly 80 acre feet that went into Lopez, if you look at the stream gauges on Lopez.
All right.
So, you know, not quite 100 acre feet, but yes, there was some runoff. Good runoff.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Chief Lieberman, do you have any general report, or you want to wait till later?
Good evening. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. Just real quickly, I know we're watching the information and the tragic outcome of Montecito currently. Just want to let you know within the last half an hour, we sent Engineer Joe Silva south on an urgent request for a heavy equipment bus. That's the fire scope language for it. What Engineer Silva will do is work with private contractors, heavy equipment operators, and coordinate their actions in that area for the remediation effort. So one body headed south currently. Our Office of Emergency Services engine has been in for routine maintenance. It should be available tomorrow. And with the state agreement for that engine, we could be dispatched to Montecito as well. That's all I have for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Report from General Manager Pavel Ogren.
Madam President, members of the board, just a couple items. Last week, I met with Cannon Associates on the water resource reliability program. They were selected and approved by your board in December, and we had our kickoff meeting. Part of that was to get the final details of scope together, and so we should have that contract ready for you, President White, sometime next week. And a lot of optimism associated with their team and moving forward on our water resource issues with them. Also, in December, I did a presentation at the local ASCE meeting, American Society of Civil Engineers, regarding groundwater in the Napomo, that northern cities management area in the Santa Maria groundwater basin. And I focused in on a comparison, a real general comparison between the requirements of SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, versus the requirements in the stipulations underneath the Santa Maria groundwater basin, because the idea is how well are the stipulations really going to help us balance the basin in comparison to whether we were on SGMA. So that was a fun presentation. And other than that, had a good holiday season and hope everybody else did as well.
Very good. Yes. Okay, moving on to Board of Directors reports. Let's start with, we'll just go down the list. Director Angelo.
I'm sorry, I didn't attend him this last week. I've been kind of busy.
Yes. Director Brunet.
I have nothing to report.
Director Coldwell?
I attended the State Water Subcontractors Advisory Committee. It was a lengthy meeting, and my report is going to be very short. There was not even a quorum at the meeting, although we did discuss a number of issues for over 2 hours. Basically, as we all know, we, Oceano, are not taking any state water at this time. We have an allocation of 750 acre-feet of water, and that is just being held in reserve for us. We are not consuming any of that water at this time. It was discussed some today, but nothing finalized with respect to the possibilities of subcontractors who do have a right to state water and don't need it, and perhaps being able to sell that to someone who does want it and need it. But there really was no progress on that issue. So that's it.
Thank you. Very happy to welcome Vice President Austin back into our fold.
Thank you.
Thank you. And last Wednesday I attended the South County Sanitation Board meeting. It was very strange because Grover Beach wasn't represented, and it was just Roy Grandy and Oceano there, and it was supposed to be an election of officers, and with two people with divergent views, there was no election of officers, and that's about all I probably could say about it. And now I will call for public comment on special presentations and reports. Have anybody want to make a comment? Well, we're moving along pretty well. Oh, moving on to 8 consent agenda items. Have any questions? Oh, public comment. See, I can actually read it and remember it. Public comment. Anybody interested? Okay. A, B, and C. Do you want to separate them? You want to approve them as amended?
I'll make a motion that we approve them as revised.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda items. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on to 9, business items. Calling again for public comment. Or let's separate the 3 different items on our business items. So we'll take public comment on... Can we wait till after on public comment? Yeah, let's just move on to A then. 9A.
President White, members of the board.
Thank you.
Item A is the approval of a recommendation to select Moss, Levy, and Hartheim as the district auditors for the fiscal year 16-17, 17-18, and 18-19. On November 13th, your board approved an RFP for audit services. Staff researched other local agencies' auditors and sent out the RFP to these firms. The district received proposals from 2 different firms, which were provided in the attached, from Moss Levy and Rogers Anderson, Melody and Scott. Both firms have established reputation with government accounting, especially with the requirements related to GASB 68. So staff is recommending the lowest cost proposal, and that is for $18,500 the first year, $19,150 the second year, and $19,820 the third year, proposed by Moss, Levy, and Hartheim. And we can field any questions with regards to that.
Have any questions?
No.
And this goes along with our proposal to get a different auditor for the next,
That's correct.
Yeah. Entertain a motion?
Madam Chair, public comment?
Oh, public comment. Seeing nobody come forward, entertain a motion.
I move we approve the selection of Moss, Levy, and Hartzman as our district auditor.
Second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0.
Madam President, the second recommendation to authorize the president to approve the professional services agreement would also be necessary.
Thank you.
Well, I move we authorize our president to execute said agreement.
Second it?
I'll second it again.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Sorry, I missed that. Ms. Cassiola, we go back to the...
Yeah, so for agenda item 9B, it's the review of the district's budget status as of December 31st, 2017. So when looking at the budget sheets that are attached, you can see revenues and expenses are on track with the adopted budget by your board. There are normal expenses that appear to be high, and they were included in our quarter one review. And they are because they're front-loaded items that are paid at the beginning of our fiscal year. Then there are the items that have been charged to our administrative fund, but have been budgeted throughout our operating funds. So a good example of this is the leave time and vacation time related to our field staff. And those are charged to our salaries and wages. They're listed in our staff report. The first five items are directly affected by that. So those items look high in our administrative budget worksheet, but they have been budgeted in our water, sewer, and garbage funds. And for items like this that were also listed, so 1 through 8, we would be budgeting those to the administrative fund in our next two-year budget that we will bring to your board. For revenues, they're similar to our quarter one review, where we received our landfill savings payment from the garbage company that wasn't budgeted but is a part of our franchise agreement with them. We also received our Five Cities Fire Authority rent, 3 of the 4 quarters, already paid for that. So with that, I'd be happy to field any other questions that stand out to you or comments. But it's pretty similar to our quarter one review.
It looks very comprehensive. It pretty well answered all of my questions. Anyone else?
Well done.
Andrew?
Yeah, no questions. Happy to see everything's still on track. Yeah.
Okay. I can see we have there's no action required. Public comment? Seeing no one come forward, move on to 9C, consideration of a report entitled A 2018 Outlook on the Five Cities Fire Authority and is a recommendation to create an ad hoc committee for interagency collaboration and related efforts. Mr. Ogren, I believe you want to report on this.
Yes, President White, members of the board, our attendees with the Five Cities Fire Authority and the public. Our discussion tonight is going to kind of contrast with the discussion at the two cities over the last two evenings because in December, your board already had a special meeting to discuss many details. So tonight's discussion regarding the Five Cities Fire Authority is intended to focus on interagency efforts and preferably interagency collaboration. At the December 15th special meeting of your board, discussion was focused on the current fire authority challenges relating to the budget deficit, recruiting and retaining reserve firefighters, and the fire authority board discussion on transitioning from reserve firefighters to full-time firefighters. Since there are numerous issues and passive discussions we could go down, I do not intend on revisiting the issues from December in my prepared comments. Instead, in discussing tonight's meeting with President White, the chosen approach includes the opportunity for board members to revisit December discussions and ask questions that you may have. And, of course, Chief Lieberman is in attendance. Just like any complex problem, the approach I am recommending for your board to consider at this time is about process and not details associated with the fire authority's current challenges. On the surface, I see two dynamics that affect Five Cities Fire Authority and the three agencies that created it, namely the cities of Rio Grande and Grover Beach and, of course, the Oceano Community Services District. The first dynamic is the operational aspects of the fire authority. Details relating to services and costs, emergency incidents, responses, and numerous other issues that are addressed on a regular basis by the Five Cities Fire Authority Board of Directors, which is essentially implementing the Joint Powers of Authority Agreement that the three agencies adopted in 2010. Overall, now, however, the issues have risen to a level of criticality that I believe more dialogue, not less, is important directly between the three agencies. So the second dynamic becomes what is needed, but what is not happening currently. Again, direct dialogue between the agencies. Now, we are faced with issues illustrating that the JPA may not work in the foreseeable future. That's where we are right now today. From a staff perspective, we also have the Five Cities Fire Authority Executive Committee, which I've participated in and I believe is beneficial. But in that committee, there are no decision makers, i.e. no elected officials participate with the executive committee. And I believe that precedent clearly shows that problem solving is accomplished better when decision makers, i.e. elected officials, are actively engaged in discussions. These types of dialogues occur at every level of government by people who are elected, not staff, when issues of significance arise. Locally, the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project that is being led by the City of Pismo Beach includes ad hoc membership from all four agencies to review project status, progress, and challenges. My recommendations for ad hoc appointments by your board to dialogue with ad hoc elected representatives from the cities is not the result of a PAVO brainstorming on my own. It's an approach that is commonly used by public agencies and is being utilized currently, as I described, on another issue of significance for the Five Cities area. So let's consider why direct dialogue is important compared to the current, in addition to the current nature of dialogue. In a nutshell, the Five Cities Fire Authority has had discussions, and then that discussion goes back to each of the three agencies separately, and then back to Five Cities Fire Authority, and if necessary, back to the agencies, and then back to Five Cities Fire Authority. What can truly be accomplished when the agencies do not directly dialogue with each other? Let's take an example of an effort that did not show a lot of progress due to the lack of dialogue, direct dialogue. In 2016, discussions of possible amendments to the JPA essentially did not go anywhere. Well, why? Well, perhaps it was because the agencies had no direct dialogue amongst the elected officials. Imagine if the United States, Russia, and China only dialogued through the United Nations and had no direct dialogue between leadership of the three countries. Focusing on constructive and appropriate dialogue is the key, and doing so in different settings helps address different challenges. My recommendation to your board to create an ad hoc committee is, however, not ultimately dependent on the cities doing so. While I believe it would be wise for the agencies to dialogue more, we cannot force it. And we have other work to do, even if the cities do not want to directly dialogue. Oceano is not guaranteed to receive fire and emergency services from Five Cities Fire Authority based on the terms of the current JPA. If the cities make additional funding commitments and Oceano cannot do so, despite the great services that we get from Five Cities Fire Authority, what might our future be? Certainly, I believe that Five Cities Fire Authority has been very important to Oceano, but I simply do not know and cannot tell your board with certainty what the future will hold. So what should we be thinking about now? Should Oceano have discussions with the county and CAL FIRE? Should Oceano have discussions with LAFCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, and monitor the proposed dissolution of the Cayucas Fire Protection District and how the county is responding to that situation in another unincorporated community? Should Oceano be evaluating our funding options and a possible Proposition 218 vote? On evaluating funding option, this point was specifically excluded from the Five Cities Fire Authority strategic plan, and rightly so. It is something that we need to do. I identify in the report that's included in the agenda that it is feasible to have a Proposition 218 vote this November, but it is one thing to develop a tax revenue model and to determine how much a tax might be on each and every parcel in Oceano, and something entirely different to address numerous issues that the public would rightfully want to know in advance of a Proposition 218 vote. In other words, creating a funding model and doing the math is entirely separate from the other various issues, including political issues, that need to be addressed prior to a Prop 218 vote. One, prioritizing the strategic plan and what the three agencies can develop as a consensus on the future of Five Cities Fire Authority, comparing service options, developing the public agencies, and again, hoping for a consensus of the elected officials from the three agencies. These issues are more challenging than evaluating land use in Oceano and preparing a funding model. It will be a lot of work for an agency like Oceano with a total of 7 full-time employees to do the tax analysis and to develop that funding option and to do the modeling. The work is important because at the end of the day, if Oceano CSD needs $150,000 or $500,000 or whatever that amount might mean be to continue to participate in Five Cities Fire Authority, then we need to know what that would mean on a parcel-by-parcel basis. How much a tax might be, amazing as it sounds, does influence whether it might pass. In some respects, though, this is an evolving issue, and we need to play it by ear. Even if the cities are not receptive to the tried-and-true approach of interagency dialogue at this time, then as time passes and if the current crisis remains unresolved, that then at some time they may become more receptive to the concept of interagency dialogue. And in the meanwhile, we will be doing our homework. Those are my comments. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I've read and reread your paper nearly a dozen times, and I'm glad to say that I've got more respect for you and your paper now than I did in my first reading. And I like that trend. And some of the people that I've talked to about it agree. And I certainly agree there needs to be an ad hoc committee. And Oceano needs to move forward with that. Hopefully, our other two sister agency cities will join in that. There needs to be a great deal of substantive discussion concerning our fire authority and how it's run, not only how it's budgeted, and I look forward to that happening. At the same time, there needs to be exploration with LAFCO. There needs to be exploration with CAL FIRE and with the county of San Luis Obispo to see what the options are for the for Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and ourselves should there not be a meeting of the minds or a capacity to fund what is agreed upon as the proper fire service. And I think all of those can move forward. I don't see a Prop 218 election succeeding. I wish I could say that would happen. I just don't see it. That doesn't mean that we don't try it. We don't know for sure if we're going to be able to do that or not. It's about the only means that we have here in Oceano to raise additional money for fire services. The possibility of a 70% increase in the budget just seems preposterous to me. I don't know how we ended up in this position, and I don't see that as working. And I look forward to Chief Lieberman addressing that for me because he may be able to clarify that. That's enough out of me. I'm anxious to hear what everyone else has to say.
Andrew?
First off, I guess I just want to echo Director Caldwell's comments because when I read through the report, the thing that I found was that Oceano was doing its due diligence, I think, in every respect. When it comes to Five Cities Fire Authority, when it comes to the emergency services, that Oceana would need, regardless of what happens, that we have to take every approach. And so how comprehensive it was, I appreciate going through, you know, Pablo, going through all that work, getting Oceano set to this point where we can have these discussions now, as well as to start doing the research that we need to do. Speaking of the Prop 218, I think when it comes to, you know, the goal here is to make Five Cities Fire Authority work. I think everybody wants to continue to make it work, to make it successful as it's already been, and continuing to do so going forward. I think, obviously, there are challenges that have been presented. I think I just want to see, I want to see options. I want to see various options, various ways to evaluate Five Cities Fire Authority to see what are we doing now that maybe we could change and improve on going forward? What are the things that maybe we've already explored that are just not going to happen? And to see how many different options we can have, because I think various options will help all agencies, I think, in discussions from an ad hoc committee level, at the different agencies and their board meetings to hear, to be able to explore in a wide range how to move forward collectively. So I think I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what we're able to talk about here tonight, too. I think the ad hoc committee is fantastic. It's something that I would absolutely love to be a part of. And being able to talk with the other agencies, communication lines, I think, are vastly important, I think, in moving forward with the direction that we're now going down. I think we have challenges ahead, and we're going to have to keep our minds and keep positive and keep moving forward. So that's my comments for right now.
Lloyd?
I would also like to be able to continue with this. However, you know, we are limited to our funding and the 218 tax we've tried before on other items. People are not willing to step up and pay more taxes, mostly because we're the smallest community. Also, I would like to see an ad hoc committee come together and see if there isn't a way that we can move forward without an over spending of each community's assets. Going into this, I felt like that it was a great thing to do. We were going to have, you know, expert people that have been working for the fire department, and also that we would have reliability, knowing that the firefighters know where the communities are and where everything happens. In the past, we'd had some different issues when we had to call in CAL FIRE and the backup type thing, and they couldn't find some of the properties that were having some issues at the time. But I would like to see this work. We are restricted with the amount of monies that we do generate. I don't want to go to a point where we're going to break our district. We have a lot of other things we've progressed on, and I think this would be great to get an outside opinion and get everybody from each jurisdiction to work together and try to make it work to where it's feasible for everyone. I don't really want to give up on it. I would like to see us go further forward, and hopefully we can come to some resolution.
Thank you. I also would like to see the Five Cities Fire Agency prosper and grow and develop, but I think Oceano's fiduciary duty is to take care of Oceano. We know it may be the chances for 218 or maybe 50-50, I don't know. But without that, we still have to retain the Five Cities Fire Authority, however it can be done. And I really am disappointed that Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande wouldn't join us in an ad hoc committee, and I'm hopeful that maybe they'll change their mind and consider where we're going and join us, because the more we can work together at the level of the decision makers who represent the voters, the more we can work at that level, I think the more successful it can be. Anyway, and with that, I think I'll open it up to public comment. Or, well, does the fire chief would like to go first, maybe. I can.
Thank you very much, Steve Lieberman, fire chief. Just wanted to maybe add a little bit of perspective to how the conversation got to this place. I wish I had had the opportunity to visit you earlier to maybe walk you through the strategic plan in more detail, because there's this number in Mr. Ogren's report of a 70% budget increase, and I would really caution you from really looking at that as a 70% budget increase. The purpose of a strategic plan is to look forward for a multiple-year period, which we did 5 years, and address both staffing issues and capital issues, which were acknowledged and identified at the formation of the fire authority, but were never implemented. And one of the big ticket items that's penciled out in that strategic plan that drives part of that 70% when you compare number to number is an equipment replacement funding strategy, which in the first 5 years is about $800,000 a year to build up enough reserves to replace apparatus at the end of its service life. In the strategic plan, it was also acknowledged that the communities have to look at this with alternatives. Do you want to do a 100% set aside to replace a $1.2 million ladder truck at the end of its life? Do you want to set aside 50% in your rainy day fund? Or do you just want to deal with the purchase as it comes available? So while there's a lot of numbers in that plan, there's a lot of variables identified in the plan as well. And if you haven't seen it, it's available on our website, which is fivecitiesfireauthority.org. The staffing that was identified in the strategic plan was based on where we think our needs are going to be based on today, with call volume, which is increasing year over year at 4%. Development, which is a good thing, right? From an economic development perspective, we want to promote the right development in our communities, but it creates impacts. The CHC clinic in Oceano is beautiful, but I can tell you from experience in the Five Cities Fire Authority, the CHC clinic on Grand Avenue in Grover Beach generates call volume. Folks that feel ill go to see their doctor in a clinic, and sometimes they're too sick to stay in the clinic, and the clinic dials 911 and we respond with an ambulance to take them to the hospital. So there's impacts that we don't always think about when there's development going on. Three-story medical office building in Arroyo Grande is going to have doctor's offices and a cancer treatment center. Great addition to our community, but we have to wonder about those impacts. Same with residential development. Put more people in an area that wasn't developed before, we've put more potential contact with the community. Aging population. Central Coast is a great place to live. A lot of people retire here, and as we get older, we have needs, whether they're medical or I don't feel comfortable climbing a ladder anymore and I need to change a battery in my smoke detector, or a couple is coming home from a physician's appointment and one of the spouses needs help into the home, and their mate simply doesn't have the strength to help them. That's why we're here. We're the catch-all. That's what the fire department is. We're all hazards, all response. What else did I want to share with you? Probably the biggest thing and the immediate need right now we're talking about is the Reserve Firefighter Program, which I started as a volunteer, and it was a very proud moment in my life in Grover City and Grover Beach. The Reserve Firefighter Program is that last vestige of the volunteer fire department. Between this place being an expensive place to live, us paying $12 to $14 an hour to these folks to serve as firefighters, drives a lot of them, obviously, to have second and sometimes third jobs. Being that they're part-time employees, I don't have the flexibility that I do with full-time employees that are represented employees, meaning that full-time firefighters, I can either say, I have an open shift right now, the person's called in sick, and I'm sorry, but you're not going home. It's called a forced hire. That person stays at work and covers that open shift. Or you're off duty, I have an open shift, and you're on the top of the mandate list, and you're called, and I need you to come to work, even though you're on a day off. That's power that we have with full-time employees that we don't have with the reserve program. I've literally been in situations where someone says, Chief, I can't work because I can make $24 an hour today if I go pour concrete with a contractor. People have to make those decisions, and in that scenario, that's the right decision for that employee to make. So we're struggling with recruitment and retention. Again, with the boomer retirements, full-time larger fire departments are hiring full-time people. We used to be able to grab students out of the academy, keep them for a year or two to help them with their Firefighter One certification, and then they leave for a full-time agency. Sometimes I call ourselves, self-deprecating humor is appropriate sometimes. We're the farm club for San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria Fire Departments. We have a history, and we have a lot of alumni at those two agencies. So the reserve program has run its course. Pismo Beach just retained a consultant to do an operational audit. Pismo has a contract with Cal Fire to provide fire service. They came to the same conclusions with the reserve program. What they found was the few agencies that still have successful reserve firefighter programs are those that have a career path. So as a part-time employee, I see a potential future to full-time employment, and currently we don't have that path. So that's another reason why we lose people. Effective January 30th, the reserve program will no longer exist at Pismo Beach, and they will have full-time firefighters at their station. Again, this isn't a trend that's new or unique to us. It actually impacts law enforcement. Both Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande have created a police trainee position where they actually pay someone to go to the police academy, and upon graduation, that person has a full-time job as a police officer with that department. So it's a tough situation. The immediate need is, we have 178 open firefighter shifts between, well, now December 15th and June 30th. I have 6 reserve firefighters on the roster. Probably need about 15 firefighters on the roster. We've moved to continuous recruitment. We use a cloud-based solution now called NeoGov. It's just a struggle, and it's my fiduciary responsibility as the fire chief to advise my community representatives when we're having operational issues. That firefighter shift, more or less, I'll just round the number to about $345 for a 24-hour shift, is often being filled by a career off-duty engineer at over $1,000 for that 24-hour shift. So we're blowing through our budget at a factor of 3 every time that scenario happens. The board, for the right reason, said, do not brown out or temporarily close a fire station. Do what you need to do with the existing budget to initiate an emergency hire of 3 personnel and fill the open shifts as best you can. So that's where we stand. I just wanted to give you a little bit of background and try to address this 70% number, which the math is there, but the reality isn't necessarily there between comparing budget to strategic plan. Definitely want to be available to answer any of your questions and support any further dialogue with this board. We value being at Station 3 and serving the community of Oceano. And we just, again, my job is to bring this information forward to my 3 bosses, and then the communities go through these processes to determine ultimately what level of service you can provide. So with that, I will cease talking and ask if there's any questions. Otherwise, I will sit down.
Any questions for the board?
Have you been requested to provide a budget update for this fiscal year for the fire authority?
Yes.
Have you done that?
The mid-year budget review, which is traditionally in January. Remember, my treasurer is also the administrative services director for the city of Arroyo Grande. So between workload and our current discussions, that is now scheduled for the February meeting versus our typical January meeting.
When were you first requested to do an update?
We do mid-year budget reviews much like you just had this evening. That's just a scheduled regular occurrence.
When were you first requested to do an update for this fiscal year?
Again, sir, it's an automatic mid-year budget review that we automatically bring to the boards.
When were you first requested to do that?
Again, it wasn't requested. It's a standard practice.
Oh, it hasn't been requested of you?
No, we provide it automatically.
When?
Typically 6 months into the fiscal year.
And when is that, sir?
So it would be January, and as I said, due to agenda and workload, it will be presented at the February meeting.
So if in your 5-year plan you're showing that you're fiscally over budget, you would not request provide an updated budget?
I might not be tracking with your question. We took a quick shot before the official mid-year budget review at the December 15th board meeting, and based on projections and those open shifts that we're trying to fill, we estimated what budget overage would be based on those 178 shifts being filled in a worst-case scenario. We had 2 scenarios. Worst case was all 178 shifts are filled by an off-duty engineer at $1,000 a shift. Then we looked at the potential emergency hire of full-time firefighters, assuming we needed to go through a recruitment and hiring process, thinking maybe we can onboard those people April 1, which is pretty aggressive. And if we brought three people on at April 1, between April 1 and June 30th, it reduces those open shifts to 80. And actually, there was a savings by onboarding those people of somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000. I don't have those numbers in front of me.
Okay. Well, as I understood your reports, you were going to run out of budget for overtime either in 5 months or 8 months, depending on the scenario. Those were your figures, weren't they?
Right.
And that was as of a few months ago.
That was, we put that together for the December 15th board meeting.
Is that still your best estimate?
It's one of those things where it's a moving target. If we hire those three employees and they're onboarded by April 1, then the scenario, the second scenario, will be pretty accurate. If we don't hire those firefighters and continue to fill the 178 shifts at that $1,000 an hour rate, obviously, the worst case scenario will be closer to reality.
Okay.
$1,000 per shift rate.
I'm sorry, not an hour. Yeah, we're in the wrong business if it's per hour, per shift. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And that's just with respect to the overtime budget, not the budget for the full-time employees, right?
So the overtime budget for the full-time employees is obviously going to go over budget because of those firefighter shifts that full-time employees are filling.
Yes, yeah. And so if you hire three more full-time employees, that'll be an increase of about $300,000, right?
Right. We prorated it to assume $75,000 for the rest of this fiscal year, which would reduce. It'd be a cheaper rate to fill, I'm trying to figure out the math, about 100 shifts with those three employees. It would be a far less cheaper shift rate than the engineer at $1,000. That helps.
Well, yeah, if you're going to pay regular rather than time and a half, it's going to be less costly. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Don't you think there is the possibility of a significant contribution to the firefighter community, the general community, not five cities, but statewide, countywide, to have an effective reserve program?
You know, I think we've run an effective reserve program. I mean,
well,
when you look at the...
It's dead. You're saying it's dead.
No,
How is that effective?
So let me just tell you, we have a great track record. If you look at what I'll call Five Cities Fire alumni, we train great firefighters, and they do very well at career stations or departments. We do exceedingly well training people and then giving them to someone else. We can't recruit people, and we can't keep people because the hiring climate is good for the business, for a younger person looking for that entry-level firefighter position, cost of living on the Central Coast, and we are not alone in this. Atascadero no longer has a reserve firefighter program. They had to transition to full-time folks. Same thing with Pismo Beach. So this is one of those growing pains. As volume and business increases, the demand for service increases, it's just a non-sustainable item any longer.
Okay. In your mind, it's dead.
Yes.
You said that.
It's on life support currently.
Yeah. I don't have any other questions here.
Anyone else?
I just had a question, Chief, and it is actually regarding the reserve program. I think you've made it quite clear. Has it been in reports, maybe you've even gone to the other agencies, that have we even looked at, you said 12 to 14 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
At the difference between raising those wages as opposed to just full-time, and whether that would actually attract, you know, more along the lines of, it sounds like a few years ago that it was going strong and things were great. Have we looked at that?
Let me grab my water. I'll be right back.
Sure.
So a couple of factors to answer your question. When I first started, I did what's called a SWOT, or strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threat assessment, and I'd already seen the decline in the reserve program. I have a graphical representation I can certainly share. At the time, the reserves were making $10 an hour to $12 for a driver operator, which is often what we try to get a driver operator at the Oceano Station, since there's only two folks. I went to the communities, and I actually showed a photo of the window of the soon-to-open In-N-Out Burger, because they were starting people at $11 an hour. The community supported a small increase. We went from $10 to $12 an hour to $12 to $14 an hour. Again, not a huge increase, and I can't report to you that it had a significant impact on recruitment and retention. The folks that were already here appreciated it. I just, to be honest with you, I have not done an in-depth analysis saying, what if we paid someone $20 an hour, for example? But I will say that I would think it reasonable that someone looking for work is going to look for a job that offers some level of benefits. So $20 an hour with no benefits, that's something that certainly could be analyzed, but I wanted to weigh that with a story. And the story is goes back to what I told you is in the PISMO study about reserve programs that are successful and remain successful because there's a transition to that full-time work. Before I started this position, the communities were awarded a SAFER grant, and I'm not sure if you remember the SAFER grant, but the SAFER grant was a federal FEMA Assistance for Firefighters grant program that provided funding for three engineers, so three-person staffing here at Station 3, and three firefighters that were able to increase staffing to four at Station 1, where a squad could run as well as a fire engine. That was a great program. That was a gateway for reserves. It was a two-year program, grant program. That's when the communities went forward with a benefit assessment, and it unfortunately was very unsuccessful. In the aftermath of that, six employees were laid off. Our staffing levels have not changed since that layoff, and we have a reserve program that's dwindling. So I just want to share perspective. Again, that's my job, is to provide information and look to the policymakers to give me direction ultimately. But I hope that addressed your question.
Sure. I think to an extent it does. I think, as you had said, the most successful reserve programs now offer career pathways. That's a perfect scenario. I don't think any agency of the three are going to ask for a perfect scenario in that sense, because I think there probably could still be an advantage of not just a 10 to 12 to 12 to 14, but 20, 22. I would think still in this age, I mean, I would be interested to see that if there were other agencies within the state of California that still offer something like that and have maybe more success in bringing reserves into the program.
Certainly.
This is an evaluation as an option with the full-time as you put forward.
Certainly.
Anything else?
Madam President, may I?
Yes.
Chief Lieberman, on the SAFER grant, my understanding was that when the JPA was formed in 2010, we did not have that staffing, that the SAFER grant augmented the staffing after 2010, and then, of course, the SAFER grant went away. What I'm doing is trying to make sure I'm clear on the baseline staffing that was established when the JPA was formed.
So let me quickly go through that. So in terms of full-time employees, when the JPA was formed, Oceano had a fire captain. So you need three people to provide a shift coverage. So there were three captains in Oceano. There were three captains in Grover Beach. There were three engineers in Grover Beach. And Arroyo Grande also had three and three. So there were eight full-time people. There were also, again, my graphs sitting here in a binder, I want to say 24 reserves at the time because they were holding on. And that was still an option. The chart now is showing recruitment and retention is just dropping at an alarming rate. I'm sorry, I didn't talk to you about NeoGov. And if I'm not answering your question, make me answer your question. NeoGov is a cloud-based HR software solution. And what's great about NeoGov is if you're a candidate to become a firefighter, you build your profile in NeoGov one time, and you upload all the certifications that you're going to need to submit, and it sits there in the cloud. And then you can say, I want a text message or an email anytime, anywhere in California, pops a position for firefighter. And then all you have to do is say, Five Cities Fire Authority, click. And everything in your application is already there, and it's very simple. So the city of Arroyo Grande allowed us to use NeoGov. We've received 16 applications, which is fabulous. One of the requirements, because of being a fire department and for callbacks, being small in size and for a large incident, is we require our reserves, like our full-time folks, to live within 60 miles or 60 minutes of the service area. Of all the applications we received, not a single one is a local resident. So what we're doing now is saying we're interested in talking to you as long as you can agree to be in the service area your first day of employment. So that's one of those pre-qualifying questions we're going through right now. Mr. Ogren, so approximately 24 reserves before the SAFER grant.
Okay, but the permanent firefighters, the permanent personnel, full-time, that were provided with the SAFER grant, that wasn't part... We didn't anticipate that when the JPA was formed in 2010, right? That was something that was a benefit that was created after 2010. We were able to get the benefit from it for a period of time, and then no, we don't have it anymore. That's my
Excuse
understanding
me.
Is that I don't know if it was 2011 to 2013 or 2012 to 2014 or the period in time where we had the benefit of the SAFER grant. What I'm trying to do is focus in on the idea that when the JPA was formed, you know, basically Oceano's funding hasn't changed. I'm never going to dispute the idea that the need for emergency response services and aging populations and you know, certainly your knowledge is excellent. But I think that part of our discussions here is what can Oceano really afford to be able to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly the board and everybody here at the district is very supportive. We love our, you know, relationships with the individuals who are stationed here. But I just want to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding the level of service and the revenue sources that we had starting in 2010. And, you know, like a lot of unincorporated communities, we're seeing those costs increase faster than property taxes are, for understandable reasons. But that's really kind of the pinch that we're in right now. You know, with respect to the 70%, I totally agree with Chief Lieberman that that's not going to be fully incorporated. On page 12 of my report, what I emphasize as being important is that prioritization process needs to go forward. Clearly, transitioning from reserves to firefighters is kind of the default highest priority. But in order for us to gain an understanding of what our long-term commitment needs to be, you know, that prioritization process needs to go through, because the current transition over a multi-year period could be a 45% increase in our budget. I agree that it's unlikely we're looking. But what is that long-term target that we need to do? And so, you know, I'm committed to work whatever I need to do to establish a funding model for Oceano. But whether I plug in $150,000 of initial revenue or $225,000 or whatever it is, we have to go through that prioritization process. And maybe that's not realistic in the next, you know, short term or this year. That's kind of where I'm sitting. You know, I think that the details associated with the technical aspects of what it takes to operate the fire authority are really appropriate at the Five Cities Fire Authority Board. And, you know, to have that message in some of those discussions at this level is important too. But how are we going to come up to its solutions? Some of that has to step outside the Five Cities Fire Authority Board and really has to be the direct dialogue amongst the three sponsoring agencies. In some respects, as I was listening to the different, you know, I think it's all decks on hand. You know, this is a big issue, and, you know, the recommendations for ad hoc committees is essentially saying everybody's got, you know, all decks on hand. And so I don't anticipate that recommendations or findings would come out, you know, with a 70% increase in the budget over the next 5 years. But where are the findings and recommendations going to land, and what is our funding commitment going to be? And talking with the county, you know, are they going to be willing to help? Certainly, this distinction about the transition in Atascadero, the transition in Morro Bay, what we're seeing in Pismo Beach and the other cities, compels me to believe that our neighboring cities are going to very much want to go in that direction. That's what their comparables are doing. Our comparables are under other unincorporated communities. They're Cayucas, they're Templeton. And so our challenges are different than the city's challenges. We all want to still have excellent service and service our populations, but we have some dichotomies there that we really need to work through with the cities, and you know, we've got to play it by ear a little bit.
Mr. Ogden, if I could just add, one of the CSDs that wasn't mentioned is Cambria. Cambria does have a fire and emergency services revenue measure. They do have full-time staffing. They run with a captain, an engineer, and a firefighter full-time, and then they still have a reserve to ride fourth in the engine. So there are some CSDs out there as well.
And another good example, which I think could provide us some optimism, is Los Osos. So as early as the 1990s, when I was a sort of a young manager at the county, the fire chief for the South Bay Fire Department reported to me, just because of the way that it was structured through county service areas. I ended up working on special tax elections, which fortunately passed in Los Osos. So we do have unincorporated communities that have, you know, had a lot of support from their communities. Though the ingredients for success, though, how do we get those to repeat here? And part of that is really rests on the credibility of Five Cities Fire Authority and getting the elected officials of all three agencies on the same page. Because when we go out with Proposition 218 measures, like we did on Lopez Dam around 2000 and we got a 70% vote, all of the agencies were behind it. And that's the type of consensus that I think we really need to develop in order to assure, you know, the continued success of Five Cities Fire Authority. And again, I think it's all decks on hand. The observation of some of the discussions at the cities over the last 2 days, I think it was a lot of, they were doing more fact-finding and stuff, and I'm hopeful, too, that in the very near future, that you know, they will see the benefit of having some direct dialogues.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay, call for other public comments.
Pat Fitzgerald, Oceano. Just a couple questions, and maybe they don't even apply. I was wondering, what is the duties, or what are the duties of the SLO County Fire Department? And does the SLO County Fire Department have some responsibilities to Oceano? Also, I noticed that anything that we agree to as far as funding or changes has to be done with Rio Grande and Grover Beach and Oceano, of course. And it seems to me, like Jim said, we have to have some sort of an ad hoc committee to discuss that with the directors or whatever that are involved in Rio Grande or Grover Beach. It says somewhere in here that all three have to agree to any changes as far as the way the FCFA is funded or anything like that. And I think it's a pretty tough time right now as far as funding goes. Oceano is kind of a different situation from Rio Grande or Grover Beach because they have certain funding sources they can bring up that Oceano never will be able to, the way things stand right now. Also, I don't know if this applies or not, but we do have a problem with the homeless and whatnot and kind of going around doing their own thing as far as campfires and barbecues or whatever out in the middle of nowhere. We had one fire that I remember close to Pier, and it did quite a bit of damage, but it was controlled fairly quickly. But that was just something that was maybe a precursor to what could happen with the problems we have with the homeless and whatnot like that. Also, we have quite a few visitors to the area in Oceano, and we have the same problem with them as we have with the homeless. They don't seem to care about you know, what's going to, where their fireworks are set off in the middle of town or whatever, especially on holidays and that kind of stuff. And I think we're going to have to come up with some sort of a solution as far as that goes. Maybe banning fireworks altogether in the area. I know it wouldn't be a popular thing, but it may be necessary. That's about all I have right now.
Thank you. Is anybody able to answer his question?
Madam Chair, I did take some notes, and at the conclusion of public comment, I would be glad to address them.
Yeah, thank you.
Good evening, Mary Lucy Oceano. First of all, I want to thank the board for taking this very seriously and addressing this. And so I don't know who to address my questions to, Madam President, or to staff, or however. First, I appreciate you not hastily jumping over budget, not spending outside the scope without having all the facts. And so my questions are, a lot of them are policy questions. You know, first of all, is that I hear the word crisis, I hear the word emergency being thrown around, right, and being described as a crisis and an emergency, but yet I haven't seen a resolution that says that we have a crisis and an emergency for fire services in the South County. So if somebody has that resolution, I would really appreciate seeing that. Because then I would get a clear definition of what type of emergency, what type of crisis we truly are looking at, besides a systematic crisis, which at this point it appears to be. I think that there's some hesitancy from our neighbors because Oceano has had to live a different lifestyle. We are trained to live within our means. When our households become short, we do budget modifications and we go and we look and see where we're going to cut back to accommodate whatever the situation is in our home. Not all communities are set like that. Not all households are. And so maybe it's easier for us in Oceano to live within our means than, say, somebody who has more of an income to spare, like people in, not all people, but a lot of people in Arroyo Grande. So I don't understand the hesitancy to an ad hoc committee, because as I listen to the presentations, I see that the reserve program, first of all, you know, if I was in the reserve program, I would have a morale issue right now, because it's a very doom and gloom attitude versus taking something and remodifying and making it appealing. If there's such a need for firefighters out there, why aren't we making a program that is not maybe looking at full-time employees, but compensating other frontline responders with part-time employment? You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of ways to sustain a program if you want that program. And obviously there's a need for a reserve program. I don't talk about PISMO. I don't even compare with PISMO because there's no comparison. So we were informed the minute the SAFER grants came in that had a clock on it. That had a time limit on it. And everybody knew that SAFER grants money was never, ever safe. It was for, I think, 2 years. So just to wrap it up, I would strongly encourage, you know, trying to approach our two membership agencies with a dialogue, you know, because you have to look at the programs. You have to assess what works, what doesn't work. And I still can't get a budget on this thing. How much are we going over budget? How much are the people of Oceano expected to go into debt? You know, and so I feel more comfortable with your decision once we kind of have some of those answers. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Patrick Ferguson, President, International Association of Firefighters, Local 4403. I'm the union president representing the career firefighters. I think one of the things that wasn't unfortunately addressed in General Manager Organ's report was this is also a firefighter safety issue. The lack of staffing, the critical nature of staffing, is a safety issue. We clearly articulated that to the fire board on multiple occasions. This is actually not new news as it was. This has been going on for about 3 years. We've had firefighter shortages, firefighting staffing issues, where we are able at a point now where we can no longer recruit nor retain our entry-level firefighters. That's a statement of fact. It is what it is. We need to address that, and we need to look at addressing that expediently because we have multiple members of our department working back-to-back-to-back shifts, working at our three stations, working multiple overtimes. When it comes to that, when we talk sleep and rest cycles, all of those other things that come into play, they can and they do have an effect on our personnel. And as the union president, that's what I'm here to address with you, is the effect on our personnel. It also has the potential for an adverse effect on the customers we serve. As you're up for the fifth time, the sixth time, or the seventh time, look what's going on now within the flu that we have going on. Multiple calls. We have emergency rooms that are closing. They're having trouble handling the volume. We're seeing those. We are that frontline response to those cases, to those calls, to those emergencies. We want to make sure that we have adequate staffing to address those. As Chief Lieberman alluded to and has discussed with the board at length, career staffing, that plan, that path, was identified when Stu Gehry was here as part of the formation of the Five Cities Fire Authority. One of the things that was addressed was as the communities continued to grow, the fire authority itself was going to need to continue to grow with it to keep up with demand, to keep up to the call volume, to keep up with the increase to populations. Those were all things that were discussed. Even with the SAFER grant, the loss of the SAFER grant, one of the things that was identified with us petitioning for the SAFER grant was just that, that increase to population, that increase to call volume, that increase to our area and that effect that we had. We wished that the benefit assessment district had a different outcome. But at the end of the day, it still affects us on a day-to-day basis is our staffing. And that's what we likely clearly address tonight from our standpoint, from the union standpoint, is we have a staffing issue. CAL FIRE is having a staffing issue. Atascadero, Templeton, multiple agencies throughout and up and down the state of California. I've been in the fire service for over 27 years. This isn't just an us issue. This is happening up and down the state of California. One of the reasons is full-time career jobs are available. Can I go to work for $15, $20 an hour for a part-time job, or can I go to work for a large agency for a full-time career job with benefits and all of those things that come along with that? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Evening, my name is Jeff Lane. I represent the Firefighters Association. I'm a reserve firefighter for the Five Cities Fire Authority. Safety, we have individuals who get sick, go home, want to come back to work very badly, and want to help our community when we are the front line to, like PG was talking about, the flu. We see those people over and over and over. It becomes inherently dangerous for us to be working as much as we do. Also, the safety when we're up all night and we need a break, we get that break, but the full-time staff doesn't get that break. So I go to work for that $22 an hour to pour concrete when I'm scheduled to work, and I have to say, I can't come to work. I have to do what's fiscally responsible for me and my family and my well-being. So the firefighters are very committed, but also it comes down to what we need to be responsible to ourselves first before our job, and that's a difficult pill to swallow for everybody. The reserve program is not sustainable. I was part of that SAFER grant, and I was laid off and went back to being a reserve, and I have watched the dwindling reserve pool go from the 25 to the now 6. Not only that, the reserve firefighter is the second, not third. There's only two people in Oceano to run the same kind of calls that the other communities run. So when there's only 4 out of those 6 individuals can drive the fire engine and 2 of those other individuals have full-time jobs, that then incurs more time for the full-time staff to come in and have to staff that rig. Everybody wants to do their part as much as they can, so we are here as much as we possibly can. The can part is what we're running into. The growth of the fire department went up with the SAFER grant, and then it fell back off, and the call volume is at its highest level of not only the 5C's Fire Authority, but any of the agencies. We're running more calls than we've ever run, and our suppression staff is lower than it has ever been. So we're hitting that tipping point. We're a small agency, so there isn't that progression into the full-time staff that we would like. When you get a job with a full-time department, you stay for 30 years. So as those 30-year members leave, we can come in, but those 30-year members need to leave, and it's not at that point. I understand that Oceano is different than the other communities. This has been a problem for at least 3 years now because we came up with the SAFER grant funding. It went away. In between there, what was done on Oceano's side to reach out to figure out funding, it's at the same point. I hope we come to a good resolution. The Firefighter Association is very much in support of the three agencies working together, so I hope that this works itself out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to come forward? Seeing no one else, I return an issue to the board.
Madam President, I just do want to, now that public comment is closed, address our union represent, Mr. Pearson. Is that
Ferguson?
Ferguson. Pat Ferguson. Is that right? I got to write that down, make sure that I have it right. So I did not address the safety issue in my verbal comments because the verbal comments were much more concise. But in the written report, I certainly did recognize it. So on page 6, in the very top paragraph and beginning in the middle, sort of, it says, with numerous unfilled reserve firefighter positions, full-time emergency personnel have been called on to work extended overtime with a corresponding increase in overtime costs. The additional cost of overtime is a concern, and this is where I'm at. But more importantly, concerns over the health and safety of emergency personnel who work extended overtime have been expressed during discussions at Five Cities Fire Authority board meetings. So certainly the health and safety issues for the emergency response personnel is something that, you know, I know that the Five Cities Fire Authority board discussed. I read it in the transcripts. And something that I wanted to make sure was expressly pointed out in my written report. So I didn't mean to neglect that in the verbal report. Obviously, verbal reports are a little bit different, and they augment written reports. And the purpose of the verbal report was really to emphasize the need for interagency collaboration to address issues and hopefully come up with good resolutions. But the importance of the health and safety is certainly not lost on me.
We've all been concerned about the safety of our firefighters.
So, I know I have a lot of homework to do still.
Well,
the question is, are there going to be a couple board members who want to work with me on it? And then see what the cities say.
Well, yeah, that I think the whole board is in support of an ad hoc committee. And I think I can maybe not ask any more questions at this point and just start moving forward. Let's get some action going on this thing.
I would like to, as I said earlier in my statements, I would like to be a part of the ad hoc committee. When I was reading through this, you know, something, and I've said this even in December, maybe if this was like a, you know, if it was two members from our board, would see it as like a pilot, co-pilot approach. And I say that I would like to be in the co-pilot position simply because I'm thinking a lot of this, if there are meetings, they're going to be taking place during business hours, Monday through Friday, which is almost not impossible for me.
We'll hold them on Sunday morning for you.
We're not making those.
Yeah. I'm assuming that I wouldn't belong on an ad hoc committee because I'm the representative to the JPA, or to the Five Cities.
Yeah, that's correct. That would be kind of conflicting duties.
Yes.
One of the things that the board might want to consider, and which I briefly discussed with Director Colwell at some point in time in the last day or two, is that in the event that whether it's you or Director Colwell felt like you wanted to transition over to the ad hoc committee and then vacate your position on the Five Cities Fire Authority Board, not that I'm suggesting it, but there's a certain deference that I think the board as a whole should give to the existing representatives on Five Cities Fire Authority Board in the event that you wanted to transition responsibilities. I don't know that that's really relevant today. If we knew that the cities wanted to participate in this process, then maybe so. But that's just something, you know, the committee assignments that you adopted in December, you can modify them. I mean, you have the flexibility to do, you know, whatever you want to do. So I wanted to speak to that brief discussion that I had with Director Colwell. But obviously, although I have no idea what Vice President Austin's commitments are right now, she's our liaison with District 4 Supervisor Lynn Compton. And so certainly discussions with the county should be initiated through the supervisor's office and Vice President Austin's relationship with Supervisor Compton could be beneficial. And as I say that, I then realize that I did neglect to answer the first speaker's question with respect to the duties of San Luis Obispo County. I also spoke a little bit about unanimous votes for funding and labor agreements, which it was accurate on. But the duties of San Luis Obispo County, that is something that would really we would be gain a better understanding of through the dialogue with the county. Last year, Grover Beach Mayor John Scholes and I met with then County Administrative Officer Dan Buckshy, and during sort of those closed door hard discussions, then CAO Buckshy had expressed that there was no legal mandate. Now, that may be true, but that's the difference from sort of the duty to the public. So that's part of what we really need to ferret out, what is the county's legal duty versus what is the county's duty to the public. Part of addressing that particular issue, then, is to follow up on the deliberations of Cayucas, because in talking with David Church, who's the executive director of the Local Agency Formation Commission, I asked him when he thought Cayucas' dissolution proposal would be back on their agenda, and he said after the county takes action. So that process right now, the ball is in the county's court. The county is supposed to have some sort of deliberations, which they're thinking might be as early as March. The county lead on it, Jeff O'Quest, has since moved on to the Superior Court, so they've got some staffing backfilling that they have to do on the issue. But I think that the best understanding of what the county's position is going to be when they're deliberating the Cayuca situation, because clearly the County Board of Supervisors understands that there are multiple unincorporated areas that are finding similar challenges, and if the county is going to help out one, then the others are also going to be knocking on their door. So it's a hard question to provide a definitive answer in, but certainly the dialogue with the county and then monitoring what's going on with Cayucas is going to give us a better understanding.
Would it be possible to assign two people to an ad hoc committee and then maybe turn to Ms. Austin and have her work independently as a side assignee in a different direction? Two ad hoc committees, one with two people, one with one.
The challenge is splitting up the duties so that we don't have three individuals who are dialoguing on the same duty.
Oh, okay.
So if we were to spin anything off what I had identified in the report was maybe monitoring the LAFCO and the Cayuga situation. But in following up on Director Brunet's comment, the idea, like a lot of committees, you sort of have a pilot and a co-pilot. If there is one board member who's interested in being on the ad hoc committee and has more time available, then that would be the pilot, and a co-pilot could be maybe somebody else.
Two things occur to me. Number one, I'd really like to get more information from Chief Lieberman about the budget and the funding and what we may be looking at this fiscal year as well as next in the five-year plan. We need that really to make even decisions like this. Secondly, what is the best way to approach Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach with regard to joining the ad hoc committee? What's the best way to approach that?
I think it's through the executive committee, because the executive committee is established, and certainly Jim Bergman, who is the city manager for Arroyo Grande, made statements last night as being a proponent for, you know, the executive committee getting more involved too.
I think that's where we start then.
Yeah, and you know, it might be that, well, I'd like to see the ad hoc committee start so we can start doing our own homework here for Oceano. And as the discussions in the executive committee evolve, then those city managers can go back and talk to their agencies. And right now, part of the challenge is there's a lot of different issues out there, and the clarity of how we're going to be addressing the different issues is important. And gosh, if we all had that money, then the problem was easily solved, right?
Easy.
So as there becomes, as the dialogue at the executive committee evolves, we may find that the cities want to start participating in more of the discussions at the elected level.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Chief?
If I could just add, the board action on December 15th meeting was, it also included that each board member was going to go and talk about this issue with their community. So tonight's the last of my roadshow, my three-night roadshow. I've been to each community now. So also on January 19th, the board will reconvene, and they should be downloading and briefing each other at what happened in their communities. Mr. Ogren, you might not have seen my email, but I've sent an invite to the managers to schedule an executive team meeting the week after this board meeting.
And I think that, you know, that continuing dialogue at Five Cities Fire, again, is going to be important. And then having this back on your agenda so that the board members who are going to Five Cities Fire Authority board meetings can openly dialogue with those who are going to follow LAFCO and Cayucas and talk with the county, so that we have, you know, frequent and ongoing communications, and everybody can make sure that they understand what each other is doing, and making sure that when the Five Cities Fire appointees go there, they can communicate well with the two city representatives that are there.
I would certainly like some additional time to see this as an agenda item for our very next meeting to see whether I want to withdraw as the alternate to the fire authority in favor of the ad hoc.
Is there any reason we couldn't wait for 2 weeks?
No, especially there's no reason. It's certainly all at your board's pleasure. I guess, Linda, I'm not sure what your take is on it, because with your representative, with your work with Supervisor Compton.
Well, I would be happy to serve on it.
Because if we can at least, if we have one appointee and we can start dialogue with Supervisor Compton's office, I think that would be really good. And put it right back on the agenda for next meeting, and I think we need to have it as an ongoing business item for, you know, into the foreseeable future.
Yes.
Now I've got three people interested in it, and we can only have two. Jim, I think you're going to have to stay with me now for a while.
Well, I'd love to stay with you.
Well, on the other hand, if in 2 weeks Mr. Colwell says he'd like to be on the ad hoc and Mr. Brunet says, can I go on the as the alternate for the Five Cities Fire Authority Board, that might work out as well. So,
yeah. Okay.
If we get started at night with Vice President Austin, I think that's a good step in the right direction.
Can you do it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so yes, I will be around for executive committee meetings.
Thank you. And President White, if I could just offer, if this becomes an agenda item and you would like me to perhaps come and walk everyone through the strategic planning document or any other document or report that we've had, I'm your fire chief. Please invite me and I will be here. I want
I'd
to provide
like to
the
see
information.
The budget.
We can certainly walk through all of that. And all of that stuff, if you just want to go look at it, it's all posted on our website currently. But again, I can come present it as well.
But the budget on the website isn't current, is it?
The current fiscal year, yes.
Well, the current fiscal... Never mind. Okay.
So current fiscal year, strategic plan projections, and most recent agenda items with the staffing projections. But again, I'd love to come walk everyone
through that.
And the adjusted budget... Is there any adjusted budget on the website?
Again, mid-year budget is scheduled for February.
Oh, so no.
Correct.
And Chief Lieberman, we have you on every agenda. You know, you're always invited.
I'm one of those guys that doesn't show up to a meeting unless you need me. But if you'd like me to present anything, I am more than available. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, then our not action action is we have appointed Linda Austin to be on the ad hoc committee. We will bring it back up on the agenda in 2 weeks for further formation of the ad hoc committee.
I would recommend a formal motion and approval on the appointment of Vice President Austin for one of the ad hoc committee positions, only because of the significance of the issue.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
Well, I'd be happy to make a motion to appoint Linda Austin, our vice president, as the very first member of the ad hoc committee.
And I will second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. And then we'll make sure it's on the next agenda. Okay. Moving forward, moving onto the agenda, any hearing items? Look to gentlemen. Huh? Any hearing items?
Madam President, no hearing items.
Received written communication?
Nope.
Late received written communication. Move on to future agenda.
Under future agenda items, we will add, regular continuing business item for Five Cities Fire Authority. We also need to add, and at the next meeting, I'm hoping we can schedule the date, for a special meeting that's been requested by Seabreeze Mobile Home Park.
Yeah.
And we indicated to them that we would try to have that special meeting either January or February, and all things considered, February is clearly more reasonable. So we need to add those items as well.
Okay. Do we have any other items to come before this board?
Could I have one thing. I wanted to see if maybe soon we can get an update on that website. I was curious.
Well, President
what website?
President and White and I have a little to do that we need to finish up on.
Oh, okay.
And
I've been ill.
No problem. Just
I've been
curious.
Ill.
Just curious.
The dog ate her homework.
I started to write a president's message. I came far short of success, and Mr. Ogren provided me with some input, which I have failed to respond to him. It was the dog ate my homework. It was Christmas. It was New Year's. It rained. I had to plant my daffodil bulbs.
The other item that's not critical, and we are expecting that it should be pretty soon, is Vice President Austin, I don't know if you wanted to spend a little bit of time in looking at the pictures we have and see, because I know you've got a plethora of pictures. Oh, the pictures that would be on the new website.
Oh, for the website?
Yeah.
You want me to come by tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that spending a little bit of time with Nicole and stuff would be great.
You want some good pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real stuff?
Okay.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Adjourned. At 7:45. Thank you all. Sign. Okay.
I'll sign it.